WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Terry Zwigoff directed the film. He's been a friend of R. Crumb's for over 25 years. Zwigoff says he first thought of making this film back in 1974 when he met R. Crumb's reclusive older brother, Charles. R. Crumb credits Charles with getting him and the whole family interested in comics. Zwigoff looked beyond Charles's eccentricity and saw brilliance and wit. I spoke with him, with Zwigoff, last April about his documentary, Crumb. I think what I find fascinating about your film is that it raises a lot of questions about madness and genius. I mean, both R. Crumb and his older brother, Charles, are not what we'd call normal. They're both incredibly talented, but it seems that Charles didn't have the energy or the will to actually work, whereas R. Crumb had the drive. In fact, he was obsessive about his work. Did you find yourself thinking a lot during the making of this movie about that combination of madness and genius?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I had read a book called Touched with Fire. Forget the woman that wrote it.
Oh, that's a book about manic depressives.
Yeah,
who were
and the
artists.
Correlation between manic depressive illness and creativity. It's a really interesting book. Ran down all these figures in history, famous artists and writers like Melville and Poe and Byron, and how they all had this incredibly high rate of either suicide or being institutionalized. And I don't know, in general, you know, I find most art, whether it's film or painting, anything that stems out of suffering by the artist is generally what I'm attracted to, you know. Like my favorite films are by, you know, people like Scorsese, who, you know, I don't know, he's probably pretty well adjusted now after all his success, but I'm sure when he started out, he's probably a very bitter, twisted guy, and he made very interesting films. He still does, to his credit, but he makes films you don't usually see in Hollywood, you know, films about losers and loners and the disenfranchised, and that's always been of interest to me.
Your film, Crumb, opens with R. Crumb on the telephone calling up his brother, saying that you want to come over and shoot some scenes there, that you want Charles in the movie.
Right.
And Charles apparently doesn't want to do it. He doesn't want to be in the film. What made him change his mind?
Well, what really happened is when I started this film about 1985, I told Robert when he finally agreed to do it that I had no interest in making it unless his brother Charles and his mother and his brother Max and agreed to be in it. And so he said, well, all right, well, let me call my mother and see if she'll do it because she's probably going to say no. But he called her and she remembered me, and I had actually hit it off with her pretty good, as I really liked her, and I thought the feeling was mutual when I met her, and ditto with Charles. And they both said yes at the time on the phone. So I told him to tell her that, you know, it would take me a couple months to get it ready, but in a couple months we'd come out their way with a small film crew, and I'd like to spend 4 days at their house filming them. She said okay. We kept her posted on the dates, and then when we arrived at that motel, you see that scene in the film where he calls her and she says no. She had just completely changed her mind, and I was sort of devastated and, you know, rather shocked, but I spent the next 4 days with the crew sitting around the motel trying to convince her to change her mind back to agree to do the film, and eventually I was able to.
R. Crumb's older brother Charles committed suicide shortly after your film was completed. Do you know what happened that put him over the edge?
No, I don't. I don't know what happened at all.
Did you ever worry at all that him being exposed in the film might have upset him or anything?
I worried very much. I had a long talk with Robert about that very subject, whether this film in some way could have contributed to that happening. I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. You know, Robert's opinion was no, that he tried to kill himself a number of times. And, you know, I was worried that possibly that talking about some of these childhood family issues had sort of precipitated things. But then again, when I first met Charles in the early 70s, that's, you know, he talked about exactly the same stuff. So I don't know. It's something I have to sort of deal with for the rest of my life. If it did have anything to do with it, I would feel extremely bad.
My guest is Terry Zwigoff, director of the documentary Crumb. It just came out on video. We'll be back after a break. This is Fresh Air. You're obviously really absorbed in R. Crumb's family, and it's a family of very unusual people. Crumb's younger brother is into some kind of unusual approaches to meditation and so on. I mean, he lies on a bed of nails and swallows something that looks like a fabric tapeworm. His mother is very overweight and doesn't seem to even have the strength or the will to sit up on the couch. But you're not parading them as a family of freaks. You seem to just be riveted by them, by their attitude toward life, by what they have to say. What fascinates you about the family and the relationships of the people in it?
I liked his family very much. I when I met them, I felt very close to them. I can't explain why. I felt a deep bond with his family. And I was a little, you know, I've been a little horrified to see now and then in the press somebody describes the family as, you know, in a rather insensitive way, like you were referring to. And I never saw them as that, you know. I always found this very brilliant people, and yeah, a little eccentric, but I really thought they had, I thought they're incredibly interesting to talk to and incredibly funny, and you get to know these people, you find they're very interesting, very likable people.
R. Crumb the cartoonist and R. Crumb the man are both sexually obsessed. How did you decide about how you wanted to deal with that in the film?
Well, it was never, you know, I tried in this film to emulate Robert in a sense, in the way he works, and that he sort of goes with his instincts and just sort of tries not to plan, you know, what direction you're going in and trust your instincts and see where that's going to get you. And sometimes you wind up in a dead end and somewhat embarrassed and make a big mistake. And sometimes it's very, very much of a, you get a great payoff out of that. And I never thought about it too much. I just tried to instinctually sort of go along and decide, where's this taking me? Where's this going? What should I, you know, go to next? And it seemed like the two things motivating his art the most and actually fueling him as an artist the most were sex and anger. And, you know, I chose some of his work to show that definitely dealt with both those issues.
You've been Crumb's friend for a long time. Was he ever embarrassing to be around? Did he ever do anything that was very embarrassing to you?
I was driving him somewhere in my car in San Francisco years ago, and this is the first time I really realized how sexually twisted he was and how obsessed. We're driving down the street, and he saw this woman. Well, I didn't know he saw a woman. I just noticed that he was sort of craning around in his seat and sticking his head out the window to try to see what we had just passed. And he was incredibly animated about it, just going crazy. I said, "What? What?" And I turn around, and there was this woman who was walking down the street who was, I don't know what the correct word is, but, you know, a pinhead, had a very small head.
Mm-hmm.
And he was incredibly excited over her. Incredibly excited, just, you know, thought that was the most attractive thing he'd ever seen on a woman. I thought, God, that's pretty strange, pretty strange.
Did he whistle or anything?
No, he was upset for the rest of the day. He was depressed for the rest of the day because he lusted after her so much, he knew he'd never be able to meet her.
I find it very hard to interview friends because when you're interviewing somebody, you really want them to reveal things. When you're interviewing a friend, you know their strengths and weaknesses. You want to protect their weaknesses.
Them, yeah.
Yeah. And if they tell you things that are very personal, you almost want to say, you sure you want to say that on tape? You know,
there are many things I left on the editing room floor in this film.
To protect Crumb?
Well, to protect his family, certainly. There were a lot of things said, say, by Charles, you know, or his mother that I just thought are nobody's business and has no relevance in this film.
It must have been hard, though, for you to figure out where that line ought to be.
People always said, you know, how can you do that? It's such a thin line to tread. I never had a problem with that. I felt very decided one way or another immediately when something, you know, I looked at something in the editing room, whether this was appropriate or not. It always seemed very easy for me to make that choice. I don't know why. Other things were certainly a lot harder.
Now, did Crumb's comics mean a lot to you?
I liked his work a lot. You know, I'd seen it in college and read it and always enjoyed it. I always thought he was a really great cartoonist, but it never, you know, I didn't really think he was a great artist until much later, until I got to know him. I hung out with him for a while, and he actually changed the way that I see the world.
How so?
Well, the one incident I can remember is coming home from work one day, and he had a key to my house. He was staying at my house for a week, and he had lost the key, and he was locked out. And to pass the time, he was drawing a sketch of this house across the street from me, up on the corner. This house that I'd seen, you know, 10,000 times since I'd lived there. And I looked at the sketch he did, and I looked back at the house. I never saw that same scene the same again. He had slightly exaggerated the number of overhead telephone wires and electrical junction boxes and all that junk, you know. And that stuff had always been invisible to me. And that's all he sees in the world, you know. He's almost like this person from another planet, you know. He's always looking for a weakness or something critical to get at, you know. And it's very informative hanging out with the guy. I can't say I'm a happier person from the way I feel much more aware, though, of what's going on in the world.
Terry Zwigoff directed the documentary Crumb, which has just come out on home video.